for your time. Today we're going to have a two lessons today. Part one is going to be how men can be saved, and part two is coming to the knowledge of truth. My text is 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3, the Bible says, "For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come into the knowledge of the truth." So I know there's two parts in that verse. God's will, people always want to know what God's will is, have all men to be saved and to come into the knowledge of the truth. And we're going to be dealing with both subjects on both of these lessons. And I hope it's a blessing to you. First of all, the biggest thing, how to be saved. A lot of people want to know how to get to heaven. And the way you get to heaven is being saved. And you say, what does being saved mean? Well, we're going to look at some things, how you can be saved, the only way you can be saved, and the only way you can get to heaven. Go with me to Romans chapter 1, verse 16. Romans chapter 1, verse 16. Romans chapter 1, verse 16, it says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believeth, to the Jew first and also the Greek." So the only way you can be saved is through the gospel. It says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation." Well, the way you can be saved today is through the gospel. Well, you say, "Preacher, what gospel is it that I'll get saved?" Well, let's look at some things and what the Bible says about the gospel that saves you. And Paul's your apostle. See what Apostle Paul says about people like me and you in the world today. How can you get to heaven? How can you be saved and know that you're saved? Go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1. "Moreover, brethren, I declared unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which you received, and wherein you stand, by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He arose again the third day according to the Scriptures." Well, there's the gospel. What's the gospel? Christ went to the cross and died for you. He was buried and rose again the third day. That is the gospel. That's the simple gospel. That's the thing that'll get you to heaven, unless you believe in vain. A lot of people believe, yeah, Christ died, and yeah, I believe He rose and all that. But have you personally ever seen yourself as a sinner believing the gospel? A lot of people might have a head knowledge, and that's what Paul writes this in verse 1. Go back to verse 1. "Moreover, brethren, I declared unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received, where you stand, which cause also you said you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain." That believing in vain is no cause, no reason. Or to a person sees himself lost and trusting in the gospel that Christ died for him, he'll never be saved. It'll just be vain words to him. It'll be like like George Washington. A lot of people say, "You believe George Washington was first president?" "Oh yeah, I believe it, but I never seen it." Well, that's the same way, you know, people are today. You say, "Do you believe the gospel?" And you tell them the gospel and say, "Yeah, I believe that he died and buried." But it's like there's no reason. But when the Holy Spirit convicts you and you hear a man preach the gospel that Christ loved you and went to the cross and died for you, then you'll receive it. And then it'll mean something to you. It'll be personal. That's why Jesus Christ is a personal Savior. You'll accept it and receive it and believe it. And you'll be saved. And that's what we mean today by being saved, is believing that Christ died for you. What are you saved from? You're saved from hell. You don't have to die and go to hell. Jesus Christ went to that cross, died for you, bled for you. He did everything He could do for you to be saved. And the only thing you have to do is believe. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. The verse I just said to you is in Acts chapter 16. Paul and Silas was in prison. They were singing songs and hymns to themselves, and a jailer had them locked up. And a great earthquake was shaking, and the jailer thought, "Well, this is getting following me." And he comes up to Paul and says, pretty much, "Paul, what must I do to be saved?" He said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." Believe what? He told him, believe that Jesus Christ died for him, buried and rose again. I know he did by the scriptures right here. He's saying the same gospel he believed, that's what you should tell people. Christ loved you and died for you. And that's the same way the jailer was saved. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Believe that he died for you. And that man was saved. Well, go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Let's go to verse 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Verse 18. And it says, "In all things are God, who hath reconciled unto himself by Jesus Christ, and given us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you, by us we pray you in Christ's stead. Be ye reconciled to God." This is my verse 21. "For he, which is God, hath made him," Jesus, "to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." Christ Jesus made, God made Christ sin for us. The reason we can be saved today is because he made him to be sin for us who knew no sin. He was perfect. He was without sin. And guess what? He took on our sin. He wasn't dying for his own sin. He was dying for our sin. That's why we should be telling people about, you know, God's not imputing your trespasses in verse 19. That he reconciled the world unto himself. You know, the world thinks that if you do this, you'll go to hell, and if you do that, no, the only way you'll go to hell is rejecting Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior. Christ died for your sins, and I'm talking about every single one of them. Say, well, are we supposed to go live in sin after we're saved? No. We do things that's pleasing unto the Lord for rewards. We don't do it for salvation. Salvation is a done free gift. It's a free gift. There's nothing you can do to earn a free gift. And Jesus Christ died. He became sin who knew no sin, that we might be the righteousness of him. Sort of like our bad righteousness put on Christ, and his good, clean righteousness put upon us. It's like we flip-flop. He's perfect. He's the perfect Son of God without sin. And we're rotten. We're no good. The Bible says there's none good, no, not one. Turn with me to Romans chapter 3, and we'll see what we are, what we really are, the way the Lord sees us. Romans chapter 3. Verse 10, "It is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. They're all gone out of the way, they're together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one." Well, the Bible tells us there's none good. Say, well, I believe so-and-so is good. Not according to the Word of God. The Bible says there's none good, no, not one. Go to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, verse 6. "When we were yet without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly." The Bible says that we're ungodly. Verse 7, "For scarcely for a righteous man one would die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commended his love toward us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." So the Bible says there's none good. The Bible says we're ungodly. The Bible also says we're sinners and Christ died for us. I mean, everything you can think of that we are, being bad, no good, that's what we are, and that's what Christ had to come and die for us. I think of myself, March 11, 1990. I heard the gospel that Christ died for my sins, and in that condition, I seen myself no better than a whore, no better than a thief, a killer, a murderer. I took my rightful place as a good-for-nothing person, and in that condition, trusted Christ my Lord and Savior. I believe that he died for me. But the biggest thing with people today is they never see their need to see themselves as needing a Savior. It's sort of like a person is sick. Most people go to the doctor when they're sick and they'll take the medicine, but you go share the gospel with people that Christ loved you and died for you, they look at you like you're crazy. In their mind, in which is Satan, is making them think this way, that there's a little bit of good they can do. And I got news for you. There's nothing you can do in your flesh that pleases God. There's nothing. There's nothing, no commandments, no keeping the law, no nothing. The only thing that pleases him is his son going to that cross and dying for you. And if you reject that, that's what I put people in the hell. And people don't like to hear that. They don't like to hear the preaching of the cross. They want to, oh, if you're okay, you be good, and you don't do this to people, God will just let you in. Oh, I got news for you. The only way that you'll get in is through Jesus Christ. The only way you'll go to glory and be in heaven is through Jesus Christ. And there's no other way. There's no other name under heaven where you can be saved. And that's what it is. Well, what causes sin? I mean, what's the big deal? What's the whole mess thing, pretty much? Romans chapter 5. It all became because of Adam. Look in Romans chapter 5, verse 17. "For by one man's offense death reigned by one. Much more, they which received abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men condemnation, even so by the righteousness of all, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous." So that right there tells you, by one act, one disobedient act, we all became sinners. And by the obedient act, which is Christ, we may all become righteous if we'll believe that. If we believe that Christ died for us, and believe that he died for us, buried and rose again, we can be righteous in what he done. By one act, we're all sinners. By another act, we all can be saved. You say, well, that just don't seem fair. Well, Christ died for us. That wasn't fair. Jesus Christ was perfect up into heaven. Everything was going great until Satan, of course, fell. And then man falls. Well, Jesus Christ loved us so much that he came in this world to die for us. I mean, what greater love than it can be that? And the only thing people got to do is trust in the finished work of Jesus Christ. The world tries to make it so hard and simple. It's the simplicity that's in Christ. Christ loved you, died for you, and that's the way we can be saved. I mean, preachers today are not doing their job. Preachers are preaching if you repent and be baptized, you can be saved. If you walk the aisle, you can be saved. If you come join the church, you can be saved. I mean, on and on. They put all these expectations or little gadgets or things instead of preaching the gospel. Why is the gospel? Jesus Christ died for our sins, buried and rose again. If they would preach that, God would be honored with what they're preaching. But if they don't, you know, it's not going to get anyone saved. Go to Ephesians chapter 2. Let's see. Let's see what it says in Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. Let's go to verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love where he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath he quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. And he hath raised up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. This is my verse right here in verse 8 and 9. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. By grace you're saved. That's the only way you can be saved. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest man should boast. And men will be boasting in heaven if there's any other way they could be saved outside of Christ. And that's the way men are. They boast now. Well, I wouldn't do this, or I wouldn't do that. Bless God, blah, 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 blah. Well, you're a sinful, good-for-nothing person. You got the nature. You got the same old nature Adam had, and you just pass it from child to child, from generation to generation. We all have that stinking, rotten nature, which is man, and it's a sin nature in us. And if you'll trust Christ, your Lord and Savior, then you'll have the Holy Spirit in you, which you're a new man, you're a new creature in Christ, and you'll have something to battle. It's like the old man and the new man. When you're saved, you'll have the new man. If you're never saved, you'll have that old man, and the old man is of the devil. And if you've never been saved, you're a child of the devil. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, and ye have quickened us with were dead in sins, trespassing and sins, where in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to Prince Power, the air of the Spirit, now working in the children of disobedience. If you've never been saved and trust Christ your Lord and Savior, you're led by Satan. You're a child of Satan. People always want to know, why can people do such horrible, mean crimes and this and that and the other? Because they've never been saved. They never trust Christ the Lord and Savior. Now, a saved person can do some dumb things, but, you know, you have the Holy Spirit in you, convicts you and convinces you about things that you do, and you're sorry. Most of the time, you know, you go out here and do something dumb as a Christian, Holy Spirit will convince you about that. I can't think of the word right now. It's in Ephesians. You'll quench the Holy Spirit, and that tells you right there that you're saved. I know that God put a conscience in you, but I'm talking about the Holy Spirit. When you quench and you say something wrong to somebody, you feel really bad, and that's the Holy Spirit in you. But if you don't have the Holy Spirit in you, we're living in a world today that people that are lost, they're capable of doing anything. I think about Hitler. Look at all the people he killed, and the Jews and everything, and Charles Manson. There's some evil men in the world. But God's grace is way more sufficient. If Charles Manson, Hitler, for instance, if they would have heard the gospel that Christ died for them, even people like them could be saved. I think about the Apostle Paul. Before he got saved, I mean, this man was putting Christians in prison. He was killing. He was just getting on with the program. And God saved him by his grace. The road to Damascus, he saved him. He told him that, hey, I died for you, Paul. Trust that, and you can be saved. And he did, and he became the greatest Christian that ever lived, I believe, Apostle Paul was. And I thank God for Apostle Paul. In part two, we're going to more why Paul's so important. Paul lays the gospel out. Paul's your apostle. In part two, we're going to go more in detail. But like I say again, if you want to get to heaven, the only way you can get to heaven, people always want to go to heaven, they don't want to go to hell. It's all because of Jesus Christ. It's all because he went to the cross and died for you and buried and rose again the third day. The only way you can get to heaven is through Jesus Christ, our Lord. I thank you. I appreciate you for your time. Part two is coming up. I hope you enjoy it. Thank you. Thank you for today. I'd like to talk to you a little bit today about Paul, our apostle, and the things he says in the Bible about, he says, my gospel. And we're going to look at some things about our apostle. And if you're a Gentile today, in the body of Christ. Paul is your apostle. A lot of people don't know that. You go around and talk to people today and ask them who their apostle is. They think it's Peter. Some of them think it's Jesus. Apostle Paul was your apostle. Now, Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior. Jesus Christ went to the cross and died for our sins. That makes him our Lord and Savior. But Paul is our apostle, and we're going to look at this. And a lot of people in the body of Christ today don't know that Paul is their apostle. Now, we're going to look at the scriptures and just believe the scriptures mean what they say, where they say it, as they say it, and believe the Bible. And I'm talking about a King James Bible. I'm not talking about the NIV, RSV, and all them other perverted Bibles. I believe the King James Bible is the Word of God. I stand on it. I believe it from cover to cover. But I believe you got to do what 2 Timothy 2:15 says, to study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman be not ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. I believe in dispensations. You have to rightly divide the word of truth in this Bible, or you'll be confused. And we're going to see that. Why the most important reason to rightly divide the word of truth is to get the gospel which we live in today of grace. So first of all, if you will, turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 11. 2 Timothy. All right, if you have 2 Timothy. Chapter 1, verse 11, it says, whereunto I am appointed a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher of the Gentiles. For this which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I believe, and persuaded that he is able to keep which I have committed unto him against that day. So right there he says he's a preacher and a teacher of the Gentiles. That's what Apostle Paul says. Go with me to Romans chapter 11, verse 13. Romans chapter 11, verse 13, he says, for I speak to you Gentiles as much as I'm the apostle of the Gentiles. I magnify my office. So Apostle Paul here is saying, hey, I'm the apostle to the Gentiles. He magnifies his office. Just like President Bush today magnifies his office of the United States. And that's the way Apostle Paul, he's magnifying his office through the doctrine which is given to the body of Christ. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Establishing things. A lot of people don't read enough scripture to learn anything. People just go to church to feel good. They don't never learn what the Word of God says. They don't never study, and they never get in there and read and search the things of God. But that's what we're going to do today. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 15, it says, for though you have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have you not many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. Wherefore I beseech you, be you fathers of me. There he goes again. It says, though you got 10,000 instructors out there, he says, you have one Father, which is Apostle Paul. Wherefore I beseech you, be ye followers of me. And this is what Jesus Christ wants us to do in the body of Christ, to follow Apostle Paul's doctrine. Romans through Philemon, he wrote 13 books. And if you'll sit in there and study these books and compare Scripture with Scripture, you'll learn some things. So he says in verse 16, wherefore I beseech you, be ye followers of me. All right, let's try one more time. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Verse 1. He says, be ye fathers of me, even as I also am of Christ. Now I praise you, brethren, that you remember me in all things and keep them in the ordinances I delivered unto you. But I would not know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is man, and the head of Christ is God. Well, back in verse 1, be ye fathers of me, even as I am of Christ. Now I praise you, brethren, that you remember me in all things and keep the ordinances that I have delivered unto you. Well, right there, Paul's saying, hey, follow me in the doctrine. Not me personally as a man, because Paul failed just like everybody else. But doctrinally speaking, Jesus Christ laid out the doctrine. What was the most important reason to follow Apostle Paul? I believe to get the gospel out. And Paul calls it my gospel three times. Let's go to Romans chapter 1, verse 16. What is the gospel? Let's go to Romans chapter 1, verse 16. Romans chapter 1, verse 16. He says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. So I know the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. It's powerful. Well, what is the gospel? What is the gospel, Paul? Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1. It says, moreover, brethren, I declared unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you received, and wherein you stand. By which also you are saved if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Reading this Scripture, Jesus Christ preached this to him. Jesus Christ gave the Apostle Paul the gospel. That Jesus Christ, hey, Paul, I'm Jesus Christ. I went to that cross and died for your sins, buried and rose again. And if anybody wants to be the saved today, it's not about repenting or turning from your sins or this or that or clean up your act or walk the aisle or join the church or be baptized. is believing the gospel. What is the pure gospel? People don't preach a pure gospel today. Jesus Christ went to the cross and died for all your sins, buried and rose again the third day for our justification, in Romans it says. People today just don't preach it. They're got away from preaching the gospel. Half of them don't know the gospel out here, the so-called preachers out here. Folks, if we don't preach the gospel, people will not get saved. And I believe right now Satan's blinded the mind. He's called the little god of this world in Corinthians. He said, the god of this world should blind the minds unless the glorious gospel should shine. Well, how's it going to shine to people if people don't know the gospel? I tell you, I listen to preachers all the time on the radio, TV, go to churches and listen to them, and they barely preach the gospel. They tell little stories, just like in 2 Timothy. Paul warned you in 2 Timothy that someday they're going to be talking about fairy tales and fables and turning the truth into a lie. And I mean, we're living in that kind of day. But the gospel is Jesus Christ went to the cross and died for our sins. Well, how important it is. Watch what Paul calls the gospel I just preached to you. Turn with me to Romans chapter 2, verse 16. Romans chapter 2, verse 16. Romans chapter 2, verse 16, he said, in the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. Paul calls it his gospel. My gospel. Go with me to Romans chapter 16. I think Paul's got an ego problem calling it my gospel, but there's something different about the Apostle Paul in the dispensation of grace. And people don't even know what that word means, but it's pouring out of age. And you can look it up. It's mentioned in Paul's epistles four times. Romans chapter 16, verse 25. Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest and by the scriptures of the prophets according to the commandments of our everlasting God made unto all nations for the obedience of faith. Paul here again calls it my gospel. Let's try 2 Timothy chapter 2. Second Timothy chapter 2. Go to verse 7. Second Timothy chapter 2, verse 7. It says, consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Remember that Jesus Christ, the seed of David, was raised from the dead according to my gospel, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer. Well, today, if you preach Paul's gospel, that Jesus Christ went to the cross, and it's a free gift, you're going to suffer as an evildoer. People say, no, that's too simple. No, there's more to it than that. But I'm telling you that if you'll preach that gospel, you'll suffer trouble as an evildoer. Or how pathetic is Paul's gospel? See if anybody else knew what Paul's gospel was. Peter and the 12 did not know Paul's gospel. Matter of fact, in Galatians, you can see where he has to go to them and tell them the gospel which he preached, and we're going to get into it. Go to Galatians chapter 1 and let's see some things. It says, Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man. That answers what we was talking about earlier. He's the apostle. But by Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead. It said, and all the brethren which are with me unto the churches of Galatia. Grace be unto you and peace from God the Father from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will and God of the Father. So he said he was apostle, not after man. And let's go down to verse 6. And he said, that I marvel that you are soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you, that which you have preached unto you, let him be accursed. And we said before, so I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that you have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men or God, or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, should I not be the servant of Christ? But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached to me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. A lot of people today would read them verses and really think on them. Paul said, I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it. Jesus Christ saved the Apostle Paul in Acts chapter 9 and saved him by his grace. Nobody's ever been saved the way the Apostle Paul was. He was doing evil. He was throwing people in prison. He was letting them be killed. He just didn't care. And God saved him by his grace. And right here it says Jesus Christ preached the gospel to him. The 12 preached the same thing. Or if they did, tell me this. Go to Acts chapter 2 and see what Paul says to Peter. And Peter didn't know this gospel like Paul did. He knew repent and be baptized for remission of sins, and thou shalt receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. He's looking for a kingdom. Paul is looking for his body to be changed. There's different things in the gospel of the kingdom versus the gospel of the grace of God. And we're not going to get into that maybe next time, but let's just leave some things right here. In chapter 2, verse 2, he said, I went up by revelation and communicated unto them the gospel which thou preached among the Gentiles, but privately to them which were of reputation, at least by any means, I should run or had run in vain. But neither Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised, and that because of false brethren and wares brought in, who came privately to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us unto bondage, to whom we have gave place by subjection, though not for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you. But of these, whom seemed to be somewhat, whatsoever they were matter, no matter to me, God accept no man's person, for they who seemed to be somewhat in conference added nothing to me. But contrarywise, when they saw the gospel of the circumcision was committed unto me as the gospel of the circumcision was unto Peter, for he that wrought faithfully in Peter to the apostleship of the circumcision, the same was mighty in me toward the Gentiles. And when Jesus and Cephas and John, whom to be pillars, perceived that the grace that was given unto me, they gave to me and Barnabas the right hand of the fellowship, that we should go unto the heathen, and they unto the circumcision. And only that we should remember the poor, the same which also for to do. But when Peter was come down, I withstood him to the face, because he was to be blamed. For before there certain came to Jesus, he did eat with the Gentiles, but when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing that there was circumcision. And the other like Jesus dismantled likewise with him, insomuch the Barnabas also carried away with their dissimulation. But when I saw that it walked not according to the truth of the gospel, I said unto Peter before them all, if thou being a Jew livest after the manner of Gentiles, and not as do the Jews, why compellest thou the Gentile lives after the Jews? Who are we who are Jews by nature, and not sinners of the Gentiles, knowing that a man is not justified by works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ? Even we have believed in Jesus Christ, we might be justified by the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law, for by the works of the law shall no man be justified. So I know right there from reading that whole long verses, all them verses, that Paul was given the dispensation of grace. He was going to Gentiles, he wasn't going to Jews, and there was a difference. And we're going to look in a second how Paul shared the gospel and how Jesus Christ shared the gospel to the Jews. And there is a difference between Jew and Gentile. And people don't see the difference, and they mix them all up, and there's confusion. That's why the Bible says, rightly divide the word of truth. We live in the dispensation of grace, not the dispensation of law. There's 8 dispensations in your Bible, and we don't have time to go through all of them. But the biggest thing is people want to mix Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and they are kingdom message. They're still under the law, and people want to try to put you under grace. And that's why Jesus Christ said, he that endureth to the end shall be saved. And that's why there's so much confusion. You got the Church of Christ, Church of God, saying you can lose your salvation. But outside of Paul's epistles, you're secure in them. You can't lose your salvation. You're sealed until the day of redemption. You're seated in the heavenly places in Christ. It's a free gift. It's over and over again. Paul talks about all of that. But people don't compare Scripture with Scripture. They don't rightly divide the word of truth. And the body of Christ is in the mess. I got brothers and sisters that are in Christ in Baptist church, Methodist church, that are truly got good testimony and saved. But they don't know nothing about this Bible. They don't rightly divide. The preachers and teachers don't talk to them. And then when you go talk to them, they look at you like you're crazy. Instead of looking into the Word of God, studying for theirself, because everybody's listening to my voice. You hear this tape, you need to get in your Bible and study, and you will be held accountable for it. And people can say, oh, he's crazy and this, that, and the other, and that's fine, good, and well. But at the judgment seat of Christ, if you're saved, you will give an account for these things. Now, just lost my thought of training. Let's see what Paul says to a man in compared to what Jesus says to a man. And we'll go to chapter, Acts chapter 16, verse 25. And this is Paul, Silas down in jail. We'll start with 25 to save time. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed, sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundation of the prison was shaken. And immediately all the doors were open, and everyone's band were loosened. And the keeper of the prison, waking out of his sleep, and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, do thyself no harm, for we are all here. Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas. And he brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And this is a great question. See what Paul tells him. And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. So, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. It talks about in Romans, believe what? Believe that Jesus Christ died for our sins. Whosoever calleth on the name of the Lord shall be saved. How shall they call on him in whom they not believe? How shall they hear him whom they have not preached? So a man preaches the gospel that Jesus Christ died for their sins. They realize that they're a sinner, and they call upon the name of the Lord to save them. And that's the way it works. Well, let's see what Jesus Christ, in his earthly ministry, said to a young man, a young ruler. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 19, verse 16. Matthew chapter 19, verse 16. And it's the same type of question. And this young rich ruler come to Jesus, and he said, "Behold, one came said unto him, Good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life?" Same thing as being saved, eternal life. And he said unto me, "Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one. That is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep thy commandments." And he said unto him, which Jesus said, "Thou shalt do no murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." And the young man said unto him, "All these things have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet?" Jesus said unto him, "If thou wilt be perfect, go and sell thy house, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasures in heaven, and come follow me." Well, folks, Jesus Christ told this man to keep the law, sell all that he has, and come follow him, and have eternal life. Well, Apostle Paul, your apostle, said Jesus Christ died for our sins. Folks, there's things different. Things are different and never the same. You can't be saved by keeping the law. You can't be saved by selling out everything you have and come following the Lord today. And that's why people are confused. That's why Jesus said, verse 28, Jesus said unto him, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, which have followed me, then regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit on the throne of his glory, he shall sit upon the 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel." They had endured to the end, they had a sell out, and that's what the 12 had. But in the body of Christ, we believe that Jesus Christ died for our sins to be in that body. There's one Lord, one faith, one baptism. We're baptized into the body of Christ, the one Lord, Jesus Christ, the one faith. It's the faith of Christ that Christ died, believing that God would raise him from the dead for our justification. And today, people got the Baptist faith, the Methodist faith, and Paul talks about the faith. And a lot of people don't know what the faith is because they're following doctrines of men instead of what the Word of God says. Well, what did Jesus think about Gentiles? Unless you blessed Israel, he didn't think very much of you. Let's go to Matthew chapter 15, verse 22. It says, "Behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievous vexed with the devil. But he answered not a word, and his disciples came and saw him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she, worshipped him, and said, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, It is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs. And she said, Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat from the crumbs which fall from the master's table. And Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith, but unto thee even in thy will. And her daughter was made whole from the very hour." Well, see, people, Jesus Christ wasn't sent to Gentiles. He was trying to seek and save them and establish that kingdom for Israel. Gentiles, the only way Gentiles could even be in the covenants of promise, in have anything to do with it, if they took the rightful place, humble themselves as a dog, and become a proselyte. Paul says, us in Ephesians, turn with me right quick in Ephesians. In Ephesians chapter 2, and this is Apostle Paul, so this is what we, "And you have the quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, where in times past," that would be Gentiles back then, "which in times past you walked according to the course of the world, according to the prince and power of the air, spirit that now worketh in children of disobedience, among them also we all had our conversation in time past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling desires of the flesh and the minds by nature, the children of wrath, even as others." At that time, we were outside. Go with me down to verse 11. It says, "Wherefore remember that ye being in times past Gentiles in the flesh, who were called uncircumcision, that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world." At that time, we had no hope. We were strangers. Jesus Christ wasn't going to Gentiles. That's why he saved the Apostle Paul, and he is our apostle, and he's given the dispensation of the grace of God. And he says, "But now, in Christ Jesus, you who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ." Come down to chapter 3, verse 1. "For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, There he is again. If you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you, or how about revelation made known unto me as a mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when you read you may understand my knowledge and the mystery of Christ, who in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. People today want to know what's the great deep truth? That, hey, at that time we weren't allied with Israel. We were alienated. And the only way you can be saved is through the gospel which your apostle presents. He says, we're living in the dispensation of grace. I was given it. I'm the apostle to the Gentiles. I magnify my office. And the only way you're going to be pleasing unto the Lord is follow Apostle Paul, Romans 2:5, doctrinally, and present the gospel as he presents it, not the gospel of the kingdom. We'll get into that later on, maybe the next message. There's so many differences in the gospel of the kingdom, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Hebrews through Revelation. That's why there's so much confusion. That's why in Paul's epistles you got eternal security outside of Paul's epistles. He that endureth to the end shall be saved. In Revelation, he that don't do my will, I can be blotted out. I mean, that's why your Church of Christ and Church of God run to all them, Matthew, Mark, they run to them books and show that he that endureth to the end shall be saved. But if you're staying to Paul's apostles, all the Bible's for us. From Genesis to Revelation, it's all for our admonition alone. We should use every bit of it. But doctrinally speaking, Romans through Philemon is to you. And if you don't accept it, and you don't stand on them truths, you will be ashamed at the judgment seat of Christ. And if you're saved, but if you're lost, if you've never trusted Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, you'll die and go to hell. You don't have to go to hell. Jesus Christ went to the cross and died for all your sins. You can be saved today. And today you can make that day. A lot of times we talk to people about these truths and they don't never see nothing in the Bible. And sometimes I'm thinking a lot of people are lost. The Bible says you're not going to understand the things of God unless the Spirit of God's in you. Unless that Spirit, the Holy Spirit's dwelling in you, Corinthians it talks about, if you're not His, you're not going to understand the deep things of God. You're not going to understand these things I'm talking about today. But if you're truly saved, trust Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, and get in this book and study and compare Scripture with Scripture, you can learn some things. You can be pleasing to the Lord, and you won't be tossed to and fro and carried away with every wind of doctrine. But it's up to you. Paul says, faithful men teaching others. Are you a faithful man? Are you wanting to learn the Bible? Do you want to teach other people the truth? Do you want to stand for that truth? And you're going to suffer, and you're not going to have big numbers. You're not going to have all these claps and these big churches and all that. But you will, at the judgment seat of Christ, be pleasing to the Lord. But it's up to you. So I hope and pray that you think about these things that I've said. I hope and pray that you're saved if you're not, trust Christ, your Lord and Savior. But if you are saved, get stabbed with some of these truths. I thank you. My name's Alan Bradley. I have a Bible class on Monday night. Be glad to tell you where it is. My number is 704-838-4591. Thank you.